Yeah.
When you heard about the one who get it in and get it on, I'm like an animal. When in my house, I'm pulling out, I'm feeling hot. So watch your mouth, my friend, you do not comprehend. What it is you talking about, I need a drink.
It's the Beatdown, everybody.
Hi.
Hey, Brian.
Hi.
Hi, Brian.
Hi.
Fester.
Hey.
In the house with you guys.
Hey.
What's happening, everybody?
Yo.
Yo, it's a crazy show. Crazy.
No,
crazy show.
We're in a crazy show.
Bro. This is out of hand. It really is.
Why is it out of hand?
It's just out of hand.
I don't know. What's going on? Tell me what's going on.
Oh, you don't know?
No, I have no idea.
Oh, you were sick yesterday again, right?
Yeah, I was watching DVR. I mean, I was sick.
So while you were sick, I was working.
Oh, there you go.
As usual.
Yes.
Managed to secure a pretty big guest today. Kurt Pellegrino's going to check
in
with us.
Kurt Pellegrino, big guest, bud. Nice.
You know,
appreciate that. Very
He's
cool.
From Jersey.
Jersey guy, we're from New York. We're kind of like
it's an East Coast thing.
Yeah, you know. We're almost
although
brothers.
I've said many times, it's not an East Coast West Coast thing. But Kurt's, you know, we're from New York. He loves us.
That's awesome. Dude. Why don't you tell me? Yeah, the big guest, Kurt Pellegrino.
Yeah,
very
Kurt's
cool.
Going to check in.
Yeah,
should be good. We got more Amber.
Amber,
definitely going to do some more Amber Alert stuff.
Love seeing Amber.
And we're going to play another Coalition Fight music track today.
Love those guys.
What else is going on?
I don't know what's going on, dude. What's going on, dude?
I don't know. See if we can get somebody else to give us a call.
Who's going
to
give us a call?
I don't know.
You mean you don't know?
Go through my big old Rolodex.
You don't have a Rolodex. Bro, you got a stupid BlackBerry. You have Rolodex.
All right. So everybody that knows me by now knows that Mr. Dana White has agreed to call the Beatdown later on this afternoon.
What?
Exactly.
No way.
That's the word, bro.
Dana White.
He's in New York.
The man himself.
He's in New York.
He's in New York.
Apparently, he loves New York just as much as Kurt Pellegrino does. So that's the lineup, yo. We got.
Well, I don't know. He's from Boston.
Dan, he's from Boston, so. But hey, you know, it's an Eastern Seaboard thing.
He's mostly in Vegas anyway now, so
yeah,
you know that whole Boston New York hostility. I'm not a Yankee fan anyway, so
right.
I don't know.
He's your best friend. He's a Sox fan, bro. He fucking hates the Yankees.
There you go. Me too.
He's right up your alley.
There you go.
But
Dana White. All right,
yeah,
cool.
So apparently that's we're gonna see if we can make that really happen.
Sure.
Hopefully that's the case, and
yeah,
we'll talk to him in a little bit. First, let's talk about UFC 122.
There you go.
I want to say hi to Sante. Couldn't make it today.
Oh.
So Sante, if you do check this out, bro, we'll get you back soon.
Dropping the ball.
We love you.
Yeah.
But 122 happened this weekend.
It did.
I must admit, I got a touch drunk.
You did. I saw your tweets on Twitter. I was drinking myself. I was at a birthday party. Luckily enough, they did have the fights on at this bar that I was at.
You're a little bit better at it than I am.
But yeah, well, I'm a little bit more of a professional drunk than you are.
I just can't drink.
But bro, you're Irish.
Yeah, I'm out of practice.
You're out of practice? I thought it was like in your blood.
Nah, it's, you know.
No?
There's wheat germ and oatmeal in my blood right now. I'm on a, you know, health kick.
Wheat germ.
So, alcohol does me in.
Oh.
And, that's what happens.
But you know what? I think it was an event that it helped that you were a little bit tipsy, because it made the undercard, which was pretty good, very exciting.
Yeah, it
made the main event, which everyone has been saying how disappointing it was, didn't have the action that everyone thought it might have had. From the very top, from Dana White all the way down, I mean, it seems to be a unanimous decision. But
here's my thing with you know, fights of that nature that have such big implications. Nobody wants to lose them.
True.
You know what I mean? Like it's a double-edged sword.
But I think also too that Marquardt, I think, you know, he was his corner was telling him that he was winning that fight. And I really thought that he was going into that third round thinking, I got this fight won. If I play it safe, they're going to raise my hand. And that's why he didn't do anything in the third round. I don't think he threw one punch in the third round, did he?
Nah.
I mean, I really think it was one of those situations where he actually thought that he was ahead on points, and he didn't do anything. And, of course, Okami's not the kind of guy that's going to just lay himself out there on the line and stick his neck out. He's not going to do anything dumb.
Well,
because I think Okami knew at that point that he had that fight
but
won.
Right, that's what I mean. It's when you run into those fights that have the big, you know, the big implications that, you know, if I win this fight. I mean, we talked to Nate.
Yeah.
And it's what everybody that's doing this is inevitably looking to you know what I mean? Get
to. Yeah. You want to be champion.
Exactly.
If you don't want to be champion.
Right. And whether you're driven by money or success or wanting to be the best that there is, or you're just solely driven by the fact that, you know, since you've been a child, all you've wanted to be was a champion.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's when it's that close and you don't want to put your fucking neck on the line. You just don't. Like, we see it over and over and over again.
Well, but I think, though, if Marquardt had proper coaching, and if he was told, guess what, bud? You're not doing so great. If you want to be champion, you're going to have to do something in this third round. You might have saw him pull out and some more. Yeah, I mean, pull out some more punches. Maybe, like, you know, put out all the stops. Really try and win that fight. And he didn't.
Attempt to make a finish.
When you have two guys both going into a third round thinking, I got this one, neither of them are going to put, they're not going to put their neck on the line.
And that's what you see. You see the third round from the card on, you know, the past Saturday.
And it's unfortunate because, especially for Nate, this is the third time he's had a potential number one contendership in his grasp.
Right, but
and he hasn't. I mean, gotten it either time.
But you know what? We're talking about a guy that is widely respected as if not the best, at least top three middleweight guys on the planet.
Well, yeah, I mean,
you know what I mean? Like, I don't think it's a matter of like, I don't think it's as cut and dry as, oh, he just chokes. You know what I mean? Because I'm no fan of the Jackson camp. Everybody knows that. You know what I mean? I don't have anything personal against the guy, but his fighters usually turn in the majority of the boring fights.
But the thing
is, argue it or not, that's what happens.
But I think when it gets to be the third time, you have to start with the questions. It's kind of like, listen, Buffalo Bills went to 4 straight Super Bowls. When they lost the third one, people started calling them choke artists. I mean,
right.
And it's across the board in any kind of professional sports. You know, if a tennis player can't, you know, beat that last hurdle and beat the best that there is, you know, you're going to call him a choke artist. You know what I mean? I mean, the Mets, two seasons in a row, were first place in the grass with a week to go, and they collapsed. And what do they get? They get the label of choke artists. I mean, it's going to happen. Now that it's the third time with Marquardt, yeah, I think it's a fair thing to say. I really think it is. And on top of that, too, you know, listen, let's not shortchange, you know, Yushin Okami. I mean, he is an excellent fighter.
Right.
And he deserved to win that fight. But, and he did enough to win those first two rounds. I don't know how Marquardt could have even thought that he was winning those first two rounds.
Here's the fact of the matter, though. When you get to the third round, Okami did the same thing Marquardt did.
But I know, I understand what you're saying. I understand it doesn't make for an impressive fight. But Okami also knows that he knew at that point that he won.
Well,
unless you knock me out or submit me, you are not winning this fight.
No. You're 100% right. But that's what I mean. Like if that all boils down to how the fights get judged and exactly what everybody's looking at. But you know, if you're Nate Marquardt, and I mean, I read on his website, he said, you know, obviously he's not going to say, hey, I think I got my ass kicked. But if he believes what he put up there, he said, you know what I mean? I think I won the first round. I think I did enough to win rounds 2 and 3, I think he said. Mm. So, you know what I mean? If you go into the
I love when they say that, too, because I don't really remember seeing him do much of anything in round 3.
Well, if you go into the third round thinking that you're one round up, you know what I mean? Like, that's the other thing.
If you go into the third round thinking that you're tied,
right,
and that it's one apiece,
you just don't want to lose. You don't want to get finished. You know what I mean? Like, you want to leave it at the chance that you could win, whereas if you go in there recklessly and you get finished, you definitely did not win.
I think there's a difference between being reckless and, you know, going to that third round with, you know, I mean, you don't want to be too careful. And once again, if you're thinking you're up 2-0, you can play it safe, and I can understand that. I don't find it to be stimulating or visually impressive at all, but I understand it. But if it's tied 1-1, you better make something happen. You don't have to tap out a guy. I know there's a lot of guys that'll just let the judges go for it, but you're going to have to make these judges think that, listen, I ended this fight with at least a little bit of fire, and I put my mark on it. And you know, you don't want to just hold back, because then, I mean, it's tricky enough with these judges. You're leaving too much chance when there's too much on the line.
You are, but you know what? I mean, again, it's to I don't know. Just to blanket and say that, you know, it's a case of Marquardt choking, I think that's just a little, like I said, I think there's a lot of factors that go into it. You know what I mean? Like, I just think between the judging and assuming that you're ahead or behind or not knowing one way or the other.
Well, I think that also comes into that's you being in the fight have a different point of view than your camp, your trainer who was in your corner and watching the fight as a separate entity. When you're in there, you're not exactly racking up the points while you do things and thinking, oh, he just got me down, so that's minus one for me. You're not thinking that. But it's the responsibility of your team in between rounds to tell you how you're doing.
Sure.
Listen, you missed out on this, you missed out on that, but you did this.
Right.
You're going to have to do this now.
Right.
That's what your trainer is supposed to be doing. And I think that Marquardt got bad information. I think he was being led on to think that he had that shit won easy. And that's why you got the third round that you did. And I think that begs the question, how Jackson goes about training his guys, how he goes about
things. You know what? It's kind of the same thing. Like, I don't think the question is how they train, because obviously he has some of the best athletes on the planet coming out of his stable. You know what I mean? Talent-wise, skill-wise, endurance-wise.
Well, yeah, but I'm talking about mentally. You're
right.
Training these guys mentally as well. I mean, you're not just, you know, running them through, you know.
Right. Well, you know what it is, too? I think he's just a very, like, you know, he seems like he's all positive whenever you see him. And it's honestly, it's a little fucking irritating. Like, say fuck every now and then.
Well, not even that.
You know
that,
what I mean?
Like,
just
but
be pissed off about something.
Especially when
he's like the goddamn Dalai Lama, and it's just, you know, he sits there with his hands in his fucking...
Listen, I mean, being positive works when you're the coach of a football team or a baseball team, being that kind of coach. I'm a player's coach and I'm positive and they like to play for me and I let their talent speak for themselves. But when you're dealing with fighters, one guy against another guy, to be overtly positive all
right.
the time isn't exactly beneficial.
It's
more beneficial to be a realist.
Exactly. Exactly like you're saying. Like every now and then, as somebody's coach, you need to man up and say, hey, you're getting your fucking ass kicked.
Yeah.
Sock it to him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Just like you would do with anything else. Like, hey, guess what? You didn't run fast enough to first base that time.
Right.
Next time I want to see you hoofing it, or I'm docking your pay.
Right.
You
let's see some
bucks.
Hustle. Let's fucking have it happen.
Exactly. And I don't think that happened. So I think that's what worked against him in this respect. But either way, it makes the middleweight division a little bit intriguing now.
Yeah. Everybody's looking for the Okami Silva rematch.
Well, that's the thing.
You know what?
Because
you know the way I feel, bro. Until somebody beats Silva, the middleweight division is as uninteresting as it can be because he's the fucking king.
He is. But I also think that somewhere deep inside that weird head of his, that loss, that quote-unquote loss, I mean, because, you know, it was a disqualification. It should have been a DQ. It shouldn't have even been a... You know, it's one of those things where you can't win a fight if somebody else is disqualified. I think that's a little weird. But it's still on his record, a loss to Yushin Okami because of that illegal kick.
Oh, he would love to.
I think he wants to just quiet that.
Definitely.
And make that... Like, guess what, bud? You didn't beat me.
Without a doubt.
It was, you know,
that's what I mean. Like, I legitimately thought that Nate Marquardt had the best chance at beating Anderson Silva.
Well, because if I remember correctly, and I haven't watched the YouTube clip in a while, but I don't remember that fight, you know, being all that impressive in the couple minutes that it lasted against Okami. I think, you know, I mean, it wasn't
Silva
like he was,
fight?
Yeah, it wasn't like he was tossing around Silva for 3 minutes.
No.
Silva, you know, got an illegal kick and boom, you won.
Right. But like I said, if you're under the assumption that, you know, as I said, like I legitimately in my gut, you know what I mean? I felt that Nate Marquardt was the guy that could give Anderson Silva the best run for his money.
Yeah.
He's out of the picture, so to me, you know what I mean? Vitor Belfort, you can't look past Vitor Belfort.
No, and I don't, you know, I mean, but, I don't want to say that, you know, Anderson Silva's going to go right through Vitor Belfort.
No, but I just think Belfort's going to be wrong place, wrong time. Like, Silva's got a big fucking statement to make now after he got his ass kicked for 3 rounds or 5 rounds or whatever it was, right? It was four and a half rounds,
basically.
So after he got his ass kicked for an entire title fight, you know what I mean? He's going to be looking to make some noise.
Yeah.
So I think Belfort is just unfortunately going to catch the wrong Anderson Silva.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He might have been able to beat him if he was in Sonnen's place. Who knows? But I think he's going
to
come out seriously fired up.
Yeah.
Seriously pissed off.
Speaking of which, you know, real quick before we go to a break, because we got a lot of things to do today, caught another video clip, and it seems that Anderson Silva has passed along – Steven Seagal's number to Lyoto Machida, his good friend. And Machida is has apparently been training some Aikido with Steven Seagal.
Bro, Aikido's no joke.
And I don't know, Rampage coming up this weekend. Look out, bud, because Steven Seagal is going to be in Machida's corner. Watch the fuck out, bud.
Yeah.
You might want to...
You know what?
you know what I mean?
Listen, I could not be any bigger of a fan of Rampage, so it breaks my heart to say
me
this.
Me too.
But I'm not even going to say it.
I mean, he's going to be in better shape than he obviously was in his last fight.
You know what? There's a lot of times I call fights and I say this guy can't win. It's not about Rampage. It's about Machida.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You
like Shogun, and make no mistakes, what happened in the Shogun fight, well, he's not going to let that happen again.
Nah.
You know what I mean? And he knows it. For a karate guy to have somebody get so close to you, he was embarrassed. He is embarrassed. He went back, hit the drawing board.
Well, Machida is one of those guys, too, where he makes a living keeping you at bay.
Right.
And you're not going to get close enough to knock me out. And the fact that, you know, that Shogun did.
Oh, you can't take anything away from Shogun.
Can't take anything away from him
at
all.
He's a badass one way or the other.
But you know what? Steven Seagal, bro.
Aikido.
Steven Seagal.
We'll see. Like I said, he trained.
Granted, he's 58,000 years old. He weighs 400 pounds.
Bro, it don't matter.
It doesn't matter.
When you're talking Steven Seagal,
yeah.
It don't matter.
Pretty badass.
Pretty badass.
I mean, unless Rampage went and got, I don't know, Chuck Zito to train with. Chuck Norris. Chuck Norris.
Zito. Is he going to give him piss poor acting lessons?
Didn't Chuck Zito beat the crap out of Van Damme, or was it the other way around?
No, he punched him once in a nightclub or
something. Oh, that's
shit.
All.
These three times his size.
Get bigger and bigger.
Three times his size, he fucking smacked him in the mouth. But you know what? Like I said, it's unfortunately, I think it's going to be more about Machida being extra ready than Rampage not being ready.
Yeah.
But we'll find out.
Yeah, dude,
it's coming
absolutely.
Up this weekend, man. Yeah. We'll talk a little bit about 123 at the end of the show.
I think we'll when we get Amber up, we'll wrap 123 with her real quick.
We'll see what Amber's thoughts are and who she's got going, you know, coming out on top of that card. But
because we got the big man calling in, season,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. In the meantime, let's hit a song. What do you want to play?
What do I want to play?
I don't know.
What do I want to play? Bro, I want to play some fucking rock and roll, bro.
Actually, you know what?
I'm going to do a rock and roll.
Yeah, I'm playing. We're playing Van Halen in a few minutes.
I want more rock and roll. All rock, all the time, bud.
What do you want, man?
Let's see. Going to play some Van Halen?
Don't give me no metal.
Nah, bro. Let's just go with old school. Let's do Tom Petty. I want to go with Tom Petty, bro.
Tom Petty.
A little rockin' Tom Petty. You know what I mean?
Running Down a Dream.
Yeah,
style
do a
shit.
Running Down a Dream, bro. Come on,
all right,
bro.
All right, let's do it. Running Down a Dream, guys.
Yeah, dude.
Here it is on the Beatdown.
Beatdown.
It was a beautiful day. Sun beat down. I heard the radio walk. I was driving. Trees went by. Me and Del were singing. Anything was possible. Hit cruise control and rub my eyes. The last 3 days, and the rain was unstoppable. It was always cold, no sunshine. Yeah, I'm running.
Back on the beatdown.
Back again.
Doing it.
Doing it up.
As only we can. And got a very special guest with us on the phone. Of course, he is otherwise known as the Batman. And no, I'm not talking about Christian Bale, but I am talking about one of the better lightweights in the UFC right now. And, of course, we're talking about Kurt Pellegrino. Kurt, you're on the beatdown with Brian and Mike. How you doing today, bud?
Doing good, man. Doing good. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. It's our pleasure. It's our pleasure. And then, of course, wanted to update everybody on your status. Of course, your last fight was back during the summertime. It was on the card with Lesnar and Carwin. It was your fight against George Sotiropoulos, and it was not obviously the decision that you wanted to hear. Obviously, nobody likes to come out on the losing end, but the fact that you had the fight that you had, you pushed this guy, he won by a decision, all the while tearing up your ACL, really just shows everybody how tough you are, how much you gutted it out. Give us an update on how you're feeling, how you're recouping from the surgery, and where you're at now at this point in the year.
I'm doing well now. I am walking, but it doesn't hurt anymore. I was in Disney World with my family, and I walked all day, all night, and was never sore. So that was a huge, that was a really good sign. That was one of my tests for me as well. But I'm actually doing kickboxing every day.
Oh, wow.
And I'm boxing, and I'm doing a lot of movement. And I wear a leg brace, you know, when I do that. And I feel no pain, no slippage. I'm boxing, sparring 100%. I'm almost up to my jiu-jitsu 100% rolling.
Okay.
But I feel like a blue belt. You know, I'm just not as fast at some of the stuff I was good at before. But I'm able to, like, pass the guard, you know, real well. But, yeah, I think when that's over 170 pounds in my gym, like, you know, Greg Soto or Justin Askins, that, you know, some of the, you know, the brown belts that are bigger, Dane Church, I'm just having problems. But other than that, if you're 160 pounds, I'll beat your ass.
Very cool, very cool. Yeah, don't be afraid to curse, man. It's this is a uncensored show, so that's all good. But take us through it a little bit, though. I mean, really, it's the first round. You know something's wrong inside your knee. How exactly do you go about gunning through the last 10 minutes? Like, take us through your mindset when this was going on, if you don't mind going back to that point and done.
Rehashing the nightmare.
You know, I tore my meniscus in my Fabricio Camoy fight.
Okay.
And then I accepted the fight. So, like, I took the fight with George knowing I had to get surgery.
Wow.
So I actually got surgery, rehabbed my leg, and started training right away. I never took a break.
Wow.
And, you know, it wasn't the smartest decision, but, you know, when they, you know, you fight in the UFC and you could be fighting for the belt, no, I'm gonna suck it up with only a meniscus, you know. And it wasn't major, and my problem was I wasn't able to wrestle, but I was able to shoot and wrestle, and I was gun shy to shoot. I think that was my biggest problem in that training camp.
Okay.
And you know, so then training for the fight, and you know, being afraid to shoot, like to not shoot like wrestle shoot. Like MMA shoot, but like actually like wrestling, like high school, college wrestling, I was having a problem doing, and but it didn't. She's like, didn't. But I would hold her. You know, it didn't prohibit me for training 100%.
Okay.
My leg felt good going into the fight. I felt fine. Into the cage, the door locks, and I basically was like, oh shit.
This is a bad idea.
I was like, oh god, oh my god. Because I knew I wasn't ready at that point.
Okay.
But it was such a weird feeling. Like, but I even told Joe Silva, I said, he fought the best Kurt. I was ready. I was in condition. There were things that I couldn't do in condition. Mm. In condition, you know?
Sure.
Because my leg was messed up. But I was able to work around it. And I felt fine fighting him. It just, you know, I did need a little bit more time. And then when he punched me, when I fell down and we jumped on top of me and pulled me back down, I felt my leg explode.
Oh, God.
And I really don't know how I got back up. You know, people say it's tough or whatever. I just won't. When I tell people I won't tap, I'm not going to tap to a choke.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, but if my arm or my heel is being broke, I'll probably tap. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Maybe I won't. Who knows? I mean, I knew my leg was broken. and I don't know how I stood up. People don't believe in God and think you have to at some point, because I don't know how I stood up on my own 2 feet.
Well,
I was able to do that. Kenny's yelling at me in between rounds, which she should. My boxing coach, move your head. And I was like, okay, I'll try. But knowing that I couldn't, you know, George pushed me against the cage, and I couldn't get off the cage. I only had one leg. I was only balancing really on one leg.
Oh, wow. Sure.
And it was very weird, and it hurt a lot. And, you know, he fought a great Kurt Pellegrino, but in that fight I was not the Fabricio Camoys Kurt. And if I was, I would have killed him.
Oh,
and that's something that I know, and I don't care what anyone says, but yeah, fight's a fight, and I lost fair and square, but I just wish I had two knees, that's all.
Now, obviously, the big merger with the WEC and the UFC, and they're gonna open up a couple more weight classes. Is the game plan at this point to get right back into 155 and try to get a shot at that title, or have you considered moving weight classes at all or anything like that?
No, people always ask me, will I go 45? Do I believe I can make 145 pounds? I think I actually could make it.
Okay.
But I think I'd be completely miserable. I think my wife would leave me. You know, I diet so well now that I would be afraid to see how hard the diet would be then. I know I don't cut weight. People always ask me, do you cut weight? And I always tell them, no, I don't. I just eat organic food like Kenny does. Kenny Florian is a big guy, too. He don't cut weight. He just diets and eats right all the time.
Right.
And when it's time to lose weight, we're ready. I mean, I walk around at 180 pounds, but the week of the fight, I'm 163 pounds.
Wow.
You know, eating 3 meals a day.
Right.
You know, I eat at breakfast on the day of the weight cut. How many fighters really do that?
Yeah.
And I'm only like 4 pounds over. So some people lose like 20 pounds a day of the weigh-in. So I feel like if I had to make the jump, I believe I could. But I'd have to be a little bit more drastic. I'd have to cut weight during the training camp. I'd always have to be cutting weight. I would have to be training at 160 the whole time instead of training at 170 for 55. That's the only thing I don't know if I want to do.
And now, in your own personal opinion, I mean, if you're going through a training camp where you are also, you know, in the process of cutting weight, would that take something away from your ability to train to your full potential, you think?
Well, you know, I used to do that. When I lived in Florida, I used to train at 160, 162 pounds for like 2 months.
Okay.
I used to do that. When I fought Nate Moore, Alberto Crane, Joe Stevenson, I weighed in like 153 pounds for those weigh-ins. And I never cut weight because I did like the old wrestling style. Like in wrestling, you have the weigh-in, you have 2 weigh-ins a week, maybe 3. So I would eat the right amount of food I needed to get through the day and to get me to train. And that was it. When I was ready to eat, I was about to pass out because my body's like, you need to feed yourself. So I was doing the old wrestling days, and now I just eat, train, drink tons of water, and it's when it's time to make the weight, it's super easy. So I think if I could I believe I possibly could make it, but I mean, making 55 is really just a cake.
Now, we know you're rehabbing. You know, you just told us that you're pretty much as close to 100% as you could be at this point. Now, what is your goal? Like, when are you expecting to hit the cage again? Is it sometime early next year? Is it more towards the middle part of the year? What is your goal for yourself to get back in the cage against an opponent?
You know, my thing now is the hardest thing for me right now is wrestling. Mm-hmm. Just straight wrestling. You can wrestle me, but you're still not gonna, like, I'm able to sprawl and all that stuff, and I'm fine. My part is shooting with my left leg and hitting the knee to the floor. I do drills where I can do it, and then when it's time to go, I'm just gun shy.
Sure.
But if I do boxing with takedowns, I never go to my knees, not even usually in a fight. I just grab your leg and run you over, and I'm okay there. So I said to myself, when I am not scared to put my knee to the floor, just doing regular collegiate wrestling, mm-hmm. then I want to fight. And I should be able to fight. I'm hoping I could fight in March.
Okay.
I mean, I want to fight in March. I mean, that is my goal. I want to fight in January. So my agent, Dean Albrecht, is you know, he won't let me fight in January, but if I had it my way, you guys would be seeing me fight in, you know, UFC 125.
Well, you know, and it's good too because, you know, with the extra time that you take to rehab, by the time you are ready to fight, you're going to have a hell of a lot of people to go up against with the merger now. I mean, WEC had their own lightweight division. There are a ton of guys coming in. Are you excited at the opportunity now that there's that many more prospective opponents to choose from for you to make your mark and really make your stance in the lightweight division?
It just made my job a lot harder.
Man, okay.
You know what I mean? That made my job. I talked to Franklin O'Neill, and he asked that same question. And I was like, it's great that they did that, and I'm really, really happy. But that just made my job a lot harder. Now there's more guys for me to fight. There's more guys for me to try to beat up. There's more guys that want to kick my butt. You know, it's like, if you go down to 45, you're actually, okay, I'll be added to that division, you know?
Right.
And I don't have any plans on doing that, but I'm just saying, like, there's so many tough dudes. You know, I would love to fight Shane Roller. That'd be a guy from the WC. I don't like, we wrestled in college, and in the Nationals when I was in high school. That'd be a match I would love to take. So it did bring some opportunities to me, too. But whether or not it happens, no, nothing I can, you know, I just gotta sit and wait, and I'm ready to fight. I think I'll be 100% to fight in March, and I've been training, so I was talking to my cardio coach, John Chainberg and Sharon Wentworth, and I said, people probably think I'm doing, like, just rehab. No, I'm sprinting, I'm running, I'm doing elliptical workouts, speed bike routines, you know, I'm almost 190 pounds.
Right.
From all the work I've been doing, I've never stopped. I haven't stopped working out.
190.
The only thing, as soon as I was able to walk, I was in that gym kicking the crap out of myself. My wife's like, slow down. I'm like, there is no slow. There's only go. That's all I've ever known. And I just picked up the head coaching job for this winter.
Okay.
I'm the head coach of St. Rose Wrestling. And everyone's like, why would you do that? I go, because I'm wrestling. For the whole winter, I'm going to be wrestling, because that's how I'm going to get my leg ready for just wrestling. Just beat the crap out of high school kids. I'm trying to go for it.
Well, you know, listen, doesn't everybody know you're a Jersey guy, man? I mean, there's no backing down with you. There's only one way, and it's full steam ahead. So
I'll slow down when I'm retired.
There you go.
I'm rolling the gi. I'm training the gi. I'm still beating up like brown belts. You know, my jiu-jitsu gi game is locked because all the fighting I'm doing. But I want to get back in the UFC as soon as possible, and I'm praying for March. And I hope it's a good, the right opponent for me. So we can have a slugfest. Because I'm not fighting calculated. I'm not taking notes. I'm not, this is how you beat this guy. I'm not doing that this time. I'm coming out the old school way. Go to YouTube, watch some of my videos on how I used to beat people up. That's what's coming in. I don't care. That's the guy that's coming.
Nice. Very cool. Kurt, share with us, if you don't mind, you know, another few minutes here. How did you come about being known as Batman? I mean, I'm a huge comic book fan, and I had always wondered that about you. Where did that stem from?
You know, that was actually, I get that question so much, I tell people usually just to go read some of my late interviews. But, you know, I get that question so much. Me and my father run late to a wrestling tournament, because that's what we did on every Saturday.
Okay.
Since I can remember since I was younger. And it was in middle school. I think I was like fifth grade or sixth grade. And I didn't pack the night before like my dad told me to. And I ended up pulling out a pair of sweatpants and a Batman shirt. And I asked them, as a dad, I'm not wearing a Batman shirt. Can you buy me a new shirt and a pair of shorts? And he told me, you're going to have one of them. So watch the dog. If I could have one or the other. And I picked a pair of shorts, Jersey Wrestling shorts, and I turned the shirt inside out. And that was the first tournament I ever won. And I've had that shirt ever since. It was my brother's. It was like a large back in the day. Still fits me to this day.
Now, are you...
Greg Soto wore it the day he annihilated O'Shipshack. I made Greg wear it on the. I go. I never let any fighter ever wear that shirt ever. And so when he lost to Riddle, I said, "Look, I'm gonna do something for you." And I didn't even tell him I was doing it. It was the day of his fight. I said, "This is. I know you're gonna win because I don't know why I brought this shirt with me, but it just it was looking at me the day I was packing. And there's no reason why it would even be in the area where I'd be packing. It was just there." Because my fight stuff is ready to go at any moment. Mm-hmm. It's all in one section of my closet. This was a total opposite. I go, this is a sign that you need to wear this and win it. And win. And he wore it underneath his fight shirt and won that fight.
Damn straight he won that fight.
There you go. Nice.
Some more ass kickings handed out over there.
Nice.
Are you a fan of the Batman franchise itself? Like, are you a comic book fan?
No. Not one bit.
I like that.
I watched The Dark Knight and I laughed at it and was like, wow, it was a great one, but I'm not like, I've never read a comic book in my life. Be nice to her, Priscilla. We just got my little min pin for my daughter, Sadie. And I gotta make sure my 3-year-old don't throw her across the room. And she wants to, believe me.
Very good.
I'm not a fan. I've never, like, do I like Batman? Yeah, he's pretty sweet, you know, I guess. I watch them when they come out, but I never read the comic book. I didn't play a Batman doll. And it could have been anything. It was just, that was my lucky shirt. I've always worn it. Everybody I've ever known, when I was younger, they always called me Batman. And when I fought in the UFC, my first name was The Real Deal. I asked Bruce Buffer if he could change my nickname, and he told me no.
Oh, man. I guess what Buffer says goes then. Jeez.
He said he was going to look it up, and he read online the story. He goes, I like your nickname. I'm not going to take it away from you. I'm like, son of a bitch. So, but it's good. You know, I'm glad people love it. And, you know, it's really... I got the tattoo on my leg when I wrestled in college because I didn't know if the college coach would let me wear that shirt. Because I only would wear that. I would never wear anything of Point Barrow. It would only be that shirt.
Sure.
And I didn't lucky, care. Lucky I wouldn't shirt. Wrestle. I was just like, screw you guys. I'm out of here. See ya.
Well, people do love it, Kurt, and what they do love more is watching you fight. We really hope that your comeback trail, you know, makes it. You know, we get to see you relatively soon. We're looking forward to your next fight, and we want to thank you once again for checking in on the Beatdown with us. We really do appreciate it, and hopefully we can catch up with you down the line a little bit right before your next fight, and we'll wrap with you then.
All right, guys, thank you very much, and. You know, no disrespect to George Sonoropoulos. You know, he's a great fighter, and you know, hopefully he'll be a great champion. And I just want to, you know, let everyone know that I lost that fight fair and square. And, you know, there's nothing that could take that fight back. And I'm just going to come back, you know, better than ever and try to kick some butt.
Well, nobody
put... Not to let anyone down. And
nope.
All you Twitter followers that tell me I suck and all that stuff, I love it.
Bring it on, people. He's ready for it. And once again, nobody questions your integrity, Kurt. You're an excellent fighter. You're a great person. We're looking forward to seeing you fight again. Once again, everybody, Kurt Pellegrino, lightweight superstar in the UFC. Thanks a lot for checking in with us. And once again, we hope to talk to you down the line.
All right.
Take it easy,
Kurt.
Very cool, man. Kurt Pellegrino.
Awesome.
Dude, very cool. Now
is that, though, that he doesn't like Batman at all?
No, that's cool. I think that's awesome. I mean, because I think, you know... What, it's one of those things where, you know, he's actually got a reason, you know, like,
so yeah.
Like, oh, I like Batman, so call me Batman. No, like, I had this lucky shirt, there's a story behind it, and Batman's fucking cool, so.
It's just, you know what, like, you watch a UFC, you see, and I mean, he said it, the fans love it, like,
yeah.
They got fucking Batman signs up in.
Absolutely, bro.
And it's just, you know, it's a little funny that.
Yeah, he's not a big, you know, but it's
care less.
But it's a name that's stuck. And
it could have been called fucking Aquaman.
And really, who are the Twitter followers telling Pellegrino he sucks?
They ain't listening to our show.
No, definitely not. If you are, turn it off.
All right, go fuck
yourself. We ain't afraid to tell you that. All right, let's take a break, man. We got a lot of things going on today.
Take a break. Yeah, we're going to play a song for Jen.
Yeah, play a song for Jen.
Yeah, we got some Van Halen queued up, Brian.
Yeah, dude.
Little Mean Street.
And we got some big things going on for the rest of the show, obviously.
But, yeah, so here's some Mean Street, Jen. Happy birthday, belated.
Yes.
Oh, happy birthday to Tony from Stateside,
too. Hey, happy birthday, everybody.
You guys rock, man.
All right.
Here's some Van Halen. It's on the Beatdown.
Beatdown.
take what's mine. We're searching for the latest thing, a break in this routine. Talking some new kicks, ones like you ain't never seen. This is home. Desperate part of town turns you from hunted into hunter. You go and hunt somebody down.
Wait a minute now.
Somebody said, bear warning, Lord. Lord, strike that poor boy down.
Back on the beatdown, bud.
Back on the beatdown, bro.
Doing it, bro. Kurt Pellegrino, the man, dude.
Cool dude. He's a friend of Amber's.
Oh, speaking of Amber, you know, I wanted to rap about 123 a little bit, and I figured instead of rapping about that, then getting Amber up and having her just do the Amber Alert, let's have Amber rap 123.
We're expanding right Amber's role on the show.
Absolutely. We want to hear what she has to say. We need a female.
She's officially
voice,
analyst for the beatdown.
I think so. I think we can do that. So without any further ado.
Get her a field pass.
Bam, are you here? There she is.
There she is.
So, once again, UFC 123, the palace at Auburn Hills, bro.
Big time.
Or of Auburn Hills.
Whatever.
Where's Auburn Hills?
Detroit.
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 Detroit. What?
Past 8 Mile.
That's right, dude. Hockey Town USA, kid.
Don't cross 8 Mile, motherfucker.
But,
That's
right. No doubt. But,
Cheddar Bob yourself.
Bro, big card, bro. Big card.
Yeah, of course it is.
Bro, the best.
It's UFC, man.
Yeah, so once again, it's Rampage Jackson against Lyoto Machida. And,
Rampage. And you know what? Let's let Amber talk a little bit. The guys want to hear Amber. Amber, what do you think, darling? You break down Rampage Machida for us.
You know, Rampage and Machida, just because I've been a fan of the sport for so long, I want Rampage to win. But I think that Machida is going to outclass him. I think he's going to outstrike him. If the fight goes to the ground, if Machida lets the fight go to the ground, then I think it's very possible that Rampage can TKO him.
Ooh.
But I don't know that Machida's going to let that happen. I think at this point in Rampage's career, Machida's just a better fighter than he is, and I think he's just going to outclass him. Rampage looks like shit against Rashad.
Well, in all fairness, though, Amber, in all fairness, he was coming off of a movie role. He weighed like 240 pounds. He bulked up big time for that. I mean, because he got to be Mr. T. You can't be Mr. T and weigh 205 pounds.
No, man. He's on the Dolce diet.
So, I mean, like, you know, he visibly looked...
If he comes out looking solid and looking like Rampage, then it'll be a really good fight. Like I said, I really, really hope that he comes out like Rampage and he comes out and he just TKO'd him like true traditional Rampage style, but he hasn't looked like that in a while.
Yeah, don't go back on your original statement. I was liking it. I'm taking Machida too.
Oh, come on.
I'm picking Machida, but in my heart I want Rampage to win. So it's one of those, like, if I was picking with my heart, I would pick Rampage, but I'm going to go with my gut and
take Machida. Yeah, I pity the fool, and that fool is Lyoto Machida. That's how I'm going, bro.
Negative.
I think Rampage is fired up, bro. He's fired up. Wants to do it.
Have you seen the interviews he's done? He doesn't seem into it at all.
He's not. He wants to go back and make more movies.
Yeah,
He might just be gone. I don't know. I think he's done.
I have to be honest. I think he thought that the movie experience, and, you know, no disrespect, Amber, I know you're a lady, but he said it was kind of like, I think the quote was, it was pussy shit, because they were waiting on him hand and foot, and that's something that he's just not used to. He's used to doing everything on his own. So I think he was kind of turned off by the whole movie experience, and he wants to get back to being a fucking badass. I don't know. That's my opinion.
You know what, though? I will take it that I was listening, and I was with Cookland last night at Chappelle Radio.
Oh.
Somebody was like, I wonder what the over-under is on how many times he'll howl going into the cage. That's how we'll know if he's in cage or not. He comes in howling 20, 30 times all the way to the cage. That's when we'll know if he's back.
And let's see what Amber has to say about the co-main event, bud. Because
no, you know what? Well, she did one. We'll do one. Here's the deal.
No, I want to include her in. Come on, bro.
She's included. She's right there. She's not going anywhere. She's
right there.
I'm not running away. Go ahead.
Right. Oh. She can jump in, man.
All right.
But, yeah, there's my favorite fighter, so I'm going to do this one.
Do it.
BJ Penn knocking Matt Hughes the fuck out.
Doubtful.
Don't doubt it.
Doubtful.
Don't doubt it, bro.
You want to know why I doubt it? This is why I doubt it. Because I still haven't heard anything about BJ Penn training with anyone different or better than he is.
Just, bro, he's just picking rocks up on the beach and running around in the fucking ocean, and he's gonna knock his face off. BJ Penn fights better at 170 pounds, period. He's a miserable fuck, right? He's a miserable fuck when he drops down to 155 because he can't do it. He's got to put himself through torture to stay at 155. He's fucking miserable. 9 out of 10 times when he comes into a fight at 155, he's just not ready.
But the problem is, though, and yes, he may be more passionate when he's fighting at welterweight, but he loses more than he wins when he's at welterweight, bud.
I don't know, man.
You're
talking about fights against GSP and Matt Hughes. And Matt Hughes was in his prime. GSP is currently still in his prime. Like, losing to those two guys when you're jumping around weight classes, that's not that bad.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like I said, I think Matt Hughes is on the way out, and I don't think BJ Penn is ready to turn it in yet.
I don't think he is either. And like I said, I agree. BJ Penn is fighting in his more natural weight here. He doesn't have to train to make weight here. I think he's hungrier here, especially after his last two fights. I don't think this fight will go the distance. I think I don't think it'll be a knockout. I think he'll submit him. I think he'll get him to the ground with punches, and then I think he'll submit him. But I think it'll end. I don't think it'll go to decision.
But you know, speaking on that, then Amber, let's look at it from the other side, though. I just, for some ungodly reason, and I'm not a Matt Hughes fan at all. I'm really, you know, he's really just not a guy you could really easily like, but I respect the hell out of the fact that the guy's had 50-something fights, and he's won 47. Like, he never loses. You know, it's one of those, even recently in his fights, were they the greatest spectacle on the face of the mind? No, but he never loses.
Here's the thing with Matt Hughes. He was lucky enough to be one of the trendsetters. You know what I mean? Like, he was one of the very first badass wrestlers.
Yeah.
And it's just at the time that he came through the, you know, the ranks in the game, wrestling wasn't the premier thing that was winning MMA fights. It was jiu-jitsu and it was Muay Thai. You know what I mean? He's one of the guys that initiated the changeover. So it's the Hoist Gracie syndrome. Like, the people he fights aren't going to know how to fight him because it hadn't been a very popular thing to do just yet.
Now everybody's doing it, so everybody can beat him in a gun game.
Right.
I don't know. I'm just, you know what it is?
I think BJ Penn takes this fight.
Well, you know what it is, too?
Me and Bama, we're ganging up on you.
Amber, it's also the fact that, like I was touching on a minute or two ago, it's the fact that BJ Penn is maybe miserable when he has to cut weight, but you know what? If you're miserable and you're the lightweight champion, then suck my left nut. I don't want to care about you. I don't really care about your misery. He hasn't looked inspired in a while, and I think it's because he doesn't change his game ever. He's always training with the same people, and these people are not as good as he is. Mm. And I think that has had a negative impact on his game altogether. And I don't think that now jumping up to welterweight and fighting a guy like Matt Hughes, who always seems to find a way to win.
Knockout.
I don't know. I just think that there's more into this fight than
first round knockout. Boof. Done.
I think he ends the fight, and I do think he has made some changes to his camp within the camp. I just don't think there's been big changes that you're going to hear about in the media, which is probably what he needs. I do agree with you there. But I still, I was talking to somebody the other night, and they were like, I think he's too old to make changes, but I don't think that's true. As a fighter, I think there's always room to make improvements, always room to make changes. But I don't think that with this fight, he needs to make some big, huge improvement. I think that what he's doing is going to be enough to fight at a natural weight. I think he's going to take Matt Hughes pretty easily.
And then,
what do you got next?
Well, there's also
what's next on this fucking card.
Seeing how we what?
What's next on this fucking card?
Wow, Mike's fired up. He's excited to talk to Dana, but you know, we're getting there, bud. We'll get there, bud. But
Ma, the meatloaf.
We were just talking to Kurt Pellegrino, and the guy he fought at 116 is also fighting. George Sotiropoulos sticking on Joe Lozon.
I got a bad taste in my mouth for Sotiropoulos after that fight.
Yeah, we can skip this one. We know where Amber's going with this.
You know, if that fight hadn't gone even 10 more seconds, Kurt dropped Sotiropoulos. Sotiropoulos didn't know where the fuck he was at the end of that fight. And
yeah.
I hope that the Lozon fight ends very quickly with Sotiropoulos not knowing where the fuck he is, so that Kurt can get a little bit of rejoice from that fight. Because, you know, a lot of people didn't know about Kurt before that fight. You know, he was kind of like, people knew him, but not your casual fans didn't know who he was. Mm-hmm. And then people would be like, oh, well, he couldn't take Sotiropoulos. That fight was a close fight.
Definitely.
And then,
despite his,
dropped him at the end of the third round.
On one leg, by the way.
Yeah. And so, Sotiropoulos isn't all that. I mean, I'm not taking anything away from him, like saying he's a bad dude or anything. I'm sure he's great. But to say that he's any, like, some great, awesome, great fighter and he's all this better than Kurt just pisses me off. So I hope Joe Logan goes out there and whoops his ass.
Amber's getting feisty.
I hope he gets him because, you know, everybody, he's got, Sotiropoulos has great jiu-jitsu, and a lot of people are talking about how Lozon's jiu-jitsu is not going to be good enough to beat Sotiropoulos, and I don't think that's true.
I
think his jiu-jitsu is amazing. It's off the chart.
Yeah, without a doubt.
I hope he submits him. But I kind of hope he knocks him out, so I just hope he ends it pretty quickly. I have a really bad taste in my mouth after that fight.
I think once I said the word Sotiropoulos, I think like the claws came out.
Biased.
And Amber was ready to rip some shit up.
She's fucking biased.
Fired up.
Kurt is like my boy. He's like my number one. I don't know how else to say it. Like, he's
biased.
He's my boy. I just get fired up and...
You're biased.
Wow, I think I see a sense of love in the air, bro. I'm getting that from Amber at this point. I'm you know, what do you think?
Yeah.
Thanks. That was excellent commentary there, Mike.
Yeah. What?
Yeah.
She just said that's a number one. What the fuck you are? Yeah, she loves him.
Yeah.
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 What's next?
I love you guys too, though.
Aww, thanks, Amber.
If you guys get in a bar fight or anything like that ever happens and you drop somebody like that and don't get credit for it, I'll completely take it up for you.
Sweet.
Yeah. Well, you got, you know, Phil Davis against Tim
Bosch. Is there even any kind of point in attempting to call that for Tim Bosch?
I don't think so.
No.
Okay. So, yeah, Mr. Wonderful's going to walk away.
We're going as far as to say, like, Phil Davis can't lose. Like, it's impossible for him to lose a fight.
He can get knocked out.
I don't know that I'll go that far, but I don't see him losing the fight.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
There's really even no point in getting into that. Phil Davis is going to win that fight.
And then the last fight is Gerald Harris against Michael
Hurricane
Falcio. Yeah. How do you pronounce his last name? I don't even know how you pronounce his name.
Have you ever seen that guy ever fight? I've never even...
No, and he's on the main card, and homeboy
Hurricane
Tyson Griffin got punked in the preliminaries, bro.
This
just
sucks.
Yeah, that must be nice, but I'm pretty sure. Well, I mean, I don't know. It's hard to say. Like, oh, Gerald Harris is going to kick ass. I don't even know who that guy is, but look at his stats. I'm going to pick Gerald Harris, but I don't even know who that guy is.
Yeah, seriously.
Whatever.
He's going to make a name for himself.
It's all about the Hurricane, bro. Hurricane.
Hey, yeah,
so
I don't know.
So that's it. That's it in a nutshell. 123. I'm pretty excited. Wait, what'd you say?
You two dicks.
That's a pretty stat card, and I'm excited.
There you go, because I said the same thing. You know what? Great minds think alike. We both said we're excited
and
for this event.
And apparently speak at the same time, too.
That's because we're using the same wavelengths, kid. We're on it.
Right.
We know what we're talking about. You're sitting there going,
yeah.
There. Yeah.
All right. Well, now that we ran down 123, Amber.
It's a quick preview, guys. Look. Yeah, it's back to back. I did a whole big prediction thing. Oh, by the way, congrats to who was that won? Somebody won. Chris Hyde. Congratulations, Chris Hyde. Beat. But listen, guy, I'm going to tell you fucking straight up. You didn't beat her. You fucking tied her. And I did say that a tie was going to go to the house. But out of the goodness of Crooklyn's heart, she said we should hook you up anyway. So, Chris Hyde, congratulations on tying Tap Out Crooklyn's predictions last week.
He won the main event, so I don't give a shit.
Guy, it doesn't matter.
He won the main event. He only would have picked Okami.
It's a tie. You tied.
Your mother's tied.
Oh,
tied.
Yeah. He was the only one that picked Okami.
Yep. But Crooklyn was the only one that picked Dennis Siver. So,
congrats.
Congrats to Chris while we're on it.
And, but, Amber, what should we be looking out for? What do you got for us?
Yeah, so get us through the Amber Alert portion of the Amber Alert here.
I just want to say, I met a new female fighter on Twitter. Her Twitter is, at Tay Stratford. She is an Emmy fighter. She's one of the top, actually, I think she is the top 145-pound Emmy female right now.
Hey.
She just advanced to 6-0 for the semifinals of an 8-women tournament, and she's fighting in Vegas on January 7th. But she looks phenomenal, so everybody should go and follow her. You know how I feel about women's MMA, and I'm all about getting it out there, so go follow her. She looks great.
Cool.
Don't want to go on and on and on because I know it's a stacked show today.
Yeah.
But then I just want to remind everybody, Strike Force Challenger show this week, my buddy Big Anthony Mitchell fighting Jeffrey Hedgepath. He wanted me to try to thank some of his sponsors for him ahead of time. One Five Fight Wear, SoilUp.com, Rick's Pro Truck, Martial Arts, Life Apparel, and his gym Knockout MMA.
Cool.
And then also another guy from his gym, West Shivers, is fighting Goldman Butler in the undercard main event. So those fights hopefully will end quickly and get aired on the show, and if not, they will be up on Strike Force's website shortly after that. So everybody go and follow Anthony at Big Ant Mitch and wish him good luck at the Strike Force Challenger show.
Yes, let's do it.
Good things for him.
Very cool.
All right, Amber, we appreciate it. We got a lot of things coming on. We got to talk to the big man himself. So we appreciate your input as always. And I'm hoping that Soteropoulos doesn't win this weekend, because if we have Amber on the show next week and he won, it's going to be bad.
It's going to get ugly.
It's going to get ugly.
I feel bad for Soteropoulos if he wins, because I'm going to have to challenge him to a grappling match or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just not going to be happy if he wins. I think J-Lo is going to pull it out, though. I really do. I said it just for y'all. Pull it out.
I would pay to see that.
Pull it out.
Pull it out. That's what she said.
All right. Well, yeah, you guys have fun with Dana White.
Will do, Amber, and we'll tell him you said hi, and we'll talk to you next week.
All righty. Be good.
Later.
Be good.
Bye.
The Amber Alert. Always a pleasure to speak to Amber.
Always.
Always.
What's not to love?
Really, I'm telling you, bro. So, listen, we got to go. We got to go to a break. We got to play another song.
Real quick, Brian, before we do take another break, too, yeah. I got some Coalition Fight music coming up.
Yes.
Obviously, we're going to play that, but I wanted to take a second. We're going to check in with a guy. His name is Terry. He works for Millie Fidel, their clothing company. They make T-shirts for MMA and other stuff, obviously.
Okay.
But they're branching out right now. They're trying to attack the Canadian woodlands.
Do it.
So I asked Terry to check in with us real quick and just let everybody know exactly, you know, what's going down with the launch. It's going to happen this week. So, Terry, you there?
Yeah, I'm here, man. How you doing?
Very good, man. Thanks for calling. Like I said, we're just, give us the goods. I mean, a lot of people do know about Millie Fidel, and, you know, they have the T-shirts and stuff like that. But, you know, I'm sure a lot of people don't realize that you guys are branching out and, you know, heading over towards Canada. So just fill us in as to, you know, what's exactly going to go down at the launch and when it's going to be, where it's going to be, yada, yada, yada.
Absolutely, man. Yeah. Millie Fidel is obviously established in the States. What it is that we're doing is we're trying to bring it down to the Canadian market, or up to the Canadian market, I guess I should say. what we're doing is we teamed up with a charity named the Canadian Hero Fund. We're going to be dealing with them.
Okay.
And I've got many co-sponsors for the event. It's Saturday, November 20th. Good For You Drinks is going to be there. We're going to have the Warrior Fight Store. We're going to have Blue Dragon Muay Thai. We're going to have a bunch of people up there. A couple of fighters, a couple of fan favorites. James McSweeney, the Hammer's going to be there. We're also going to have overall tough number one pick Mark Stevens come out.
Very cool.
They're going to be doing seminars, autographs, signing everything all day, and then we're going to launch into a big party at night. We're going to have live music, tons of giveaways, and we're just really going to pump the hell out of this thing for sure.
And now, you guys got like a website set up for the event, or can anybody just go to MillieFidel.com if they need more information, stuff like that?
Absolutely, yeah. You can go to www.MillieFidel.com. You can also go on Twitter. You can check me out at MillieFidel underscore can, or you can go to MillieFidel and you can check us out there. You can get all the details that you need on the website, and that's definitely the way to get involved for sure.
And tickets? You got to buy tickets? Is it free? Gate charge? What do you do? Is it cover?
No. It's a $15 ticket, but 30% of the proceeds are going to be going to the Canadian Hero Fund. They help out fallen soldiers' children, so we're going to be donating to them. And the other portion of it's going to be thrown into a pot for big giveaways.
Very cool. Very cool. Sounds like a good time, man. I wish we could make it.
Yeah, I wish so too, guys. It would have been awesome.
But, yeah, like I said, man, I do appreciate you checking in with everybody. A lot of people had asked me exactly what the launch was about and how they can get some information on it. So, yeah, best of luck with it, Terry.
Okay, thanks a lot, guys. And just make sure for anybody on Twitter or on Facebook, just make sure you guys check out on Friday. We're releasing some big news in regards to James McSweeney and a couple other fighters.
Oh, very cool.
Very cool.
Awesome, definitely. All right, you guys, you heard it. Get on it.
Go support them.
There you go. Do it up.
How's that sound?
Yeah.
Like I said, man, it's MMA. It's
all
a big round world.
We're all friends.
Right. Go hook them up.
Yeah.
Millie Fidel, they make cool shirts. I love Canada.
Who doesn't? You love Aaron McDougal.
Guy.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Don't say her name.
right before Dana White, too, bro. I mentioned Aaron before Dana comes
I'm
on.
I'm fucking so done.
Oh, you're over.
You got questions, right?
I got questions.
Good.
Bro, I'm a professional.
Good.
Can you give me a break?
I got
I know
vomit.
Aaron McDougal. Oh, there he goes. Stan from South Park. He is calling in, folks. He is calling in.
It's the word.
Stay here. Don't turn this off. Don't pause it. Don't even go to the bathroom.
Keep it right here.
Just keep it right here.
Yo, and you know what? I'm going to give you a little incentive to keep it right here. How's that?
Hey.
We're going to play another brand new song from the Coalition Fight Music CD. It's coming out November 30th.
Yes.
Guys, in case you can't tell, I fucking love these guys. The music is out of hand. It's fucking crazy. It should come with a warning. It doesn't. So I'm going to tell you ahead of time. Don't punch your fucking, stepfather in the face or nothing crazy. Just listen to it. Enjoy it. It's called Will to Live. It's by fucking Coalition Fight Music, guys, and it's right here.
And we'll be right back with Dana White.
Guy, my thunder.
On the beatdown.
Really? That's just fucking steal my thunder?
Stole it.
Hi.
Dana White, next.
Unbelievable.
On the beatdown.
Beatdown.
And we're back on the beatdown.
Back on the beatdown, everybody.
Doing it. Now, let's not waste any time.
Get right into it.
We got a very special guest with us on the phone. A man who needs no introduction. If he did have an introduction, it would kind of be like Apollo Creed and Rocky. It would just go on forever.
Living in America.
And we really want to get to it. So without any further ado, of course, the president of the Ultimate Fighting Championship, Mr. Dana White. Dana, you're on the phone with Brian Mike on the beatdown. Thank you very much for joining us. How you doing today, man?
My pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me.
Not a problem at all. And it's been a busy week for you, and coming off of 122 in Germany this past Saturday. It's going right into this weekend, or 123 this weekend in Detroit. Now, obviously, getting the event off the ground in Germany wasn't exactly a piece of cake while dealing with the government over there. In the end, now that it's over with, do you feel that you accomplished everything that you set out to do over there?
No, obviously not. You know, we're just breaking into that market, and like you said, we've had some speed bumps over there, so... just like England or any other place that we've ever gone, that, you know, it wasn't well received in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
We don't care. We're gonna keep hitting it and keep going in there until we educate these people and they see it for what it is.
No, and that's a very good point, because not only are you dealing with that overseas, but you're still dealing with that here in America. And one of the things, I guess, you always say that it's your mission to make UFC global. And one of the things that I guess would make that a lot easier if a lot more states here in the U.S. Legalize it and realize that MMA is the fastest growing and best sport in the world. In particular, it would be really nice if that was to happen here in New York. Of course, I mean, I don't have to tell you, if you were to put on a UFC event in Madison Square Garden, it would probably be the biggest thing ever. What do you feel still has to be done to make that a reality?
You know, things aren't always what they appear to be, you know what I mean? The real issue isn't necessarily MMA in New York, you know, and again, it's you know, there's a lot of things that go on behind the scenes. I don't really want to get into that.
Okay.
But we're working on it. We're working on it, and we're going to get it done. And the reality is, what you said earlier is we want to take the UFC global. The reality is what we really want to do is build the sport. And to build the sport, it means everybody all over the world is playing by the same rules. And that's really our goal. Our goal is to make this thing a sport in every country, everywhere, all over the world.
Very cool. And, you know, Dana, one thing I wanted to touch on you with, and it's one of the things that all the fans of the UFC love and respect about you, is that you always speak your mind, no bullshit, no problems at all. You always let people know exactly what you're thinking. And I wanted to touch on something that you said going back to this past weekend. It was after the main event where you were asked about the main event. You were asked about Nate Marquardt. You did call him a choker. You set your sights briefly on the Greg Jackson camp as a whole. You mentioned that you know, it had a lot to do with what he was being told during the fight. Are you concerned that the methods, perhaps, that they're being taught or how they're being coached is having a negative impact on them?
Here's the thing. First of all, Nate Marquardt is a great guy. I mean, he couldn't meet a nicer guy in the world.
Sure.
He's had this opportunity. You know, he says, when you watch the pre-fight stuff, this is it, man. This is my chance. I'm going for this thing. I'm not going to lose this fight. And then he gets into the fight, and, you know, he's not throwing punches. I mean, he's getting outstruck in the third round, and you know, he'll throw an occasional big right hand. Never went for broke. Never went after it. Never tried to finish it. Never wanted to prove, you know, that he wanted that title shot, that he really wanted to beat Okami and wanted that title shot. And listen, the thing that I pointed out after about the Greg Jackson camp is, you know, you go into the corner and listen to some of the stuff that these guys are saying, you know, it's like, dude, what fight are you guys watching? You know, it's like this whole, I don't know how to explain it, but it's the let's not really fight and try to win without fighting system, you know? I mean, look at Melvin Gallard and the way that this kid used to fight. I'm expecting him and Stevens to be this incredible fight, and he comes out and doesn't fight like himself anymore. Believe it or not, he was winning fights before.
Absolutely,
you know,
yeah.
In an exciting fashion.
Do you think it might be a case that they're being trained more so not to lose fights than they are to actually win them?
I would absolutely 100% say that.
Wow. Now, in order to combat that, I mean, what would be the way to keep that from happening, so to say? I mean, does there have to be a change in the way points are given out? Does there have to be a change in the way that these fights are judged as opposed to, you know...
Well, here's the problem. No, the problem is and this is strictly my opinion, and you know how I am, I'm going to tell you, the way I feel and how I see it.
Absolutely.
That's my opinion, and what starts to happen is when you've got camps that are training people like that, shit becomes boring and nobody wants to see those guys fight anymore.
Definitely.
You know what I mean? You don't want this thing to turn into boxing, where guys do just enough to barely win and just enough not to lose.
Well, especially in the case where, you know, I mean, in boxing's case, too, when, you know, they have one money fight that they've been trying to get going for, I don't know how long now, a year or two, and it just can't happen. You don't want that to happen in the UFC when you have guys that nobody wants to see anymore. Everyone wants to see Pacquiao against Mayweather, and if that doesn't happen, then boxing doesn't have its big meal ticket. When it comes to the UFC, you want to make sure that each card is headlined and each card has action-packed fights that have, you know, great fighters going for it, 100%.
Listen, I'm a fight fan, man. I just want to see great fights.
Absolutely.
Yes, I run this organization. Yes, blah, blah, blah. I want to see great fights. I want to see guys that want to go out and, you know, the reality is when you get up there and you do your interview and you say all that shit like, you know, I want this title shot so bad. I want to win. I want to become the world champion. And then you go in and fight like that?
Yeah.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No, I agree with you.
You just said 15 minutes ago that you wanted to be the world champion and you wanted to win this fight. Nothing, you didn't do anything in that fight to make it look like you want to be a world champion or win that fight. And to sit in a press conference and say that you think you fucking won the fight? What is wrong with your corner?
Yeah.
I mean, your corner are basically the eyes and ears for you, man. These guys see and hear everything that's going on. You know, they're supposed to instruct you on what's going on. If one fucking guy walked back in that back locker room and told them, you know, you won that fight, you got robbed, that's bullshit. First of all, I'll be the first one to call a robbery when I see it. If I think a guy got robbed, I'll call it. If the Greg Jackson camp fucking told him that he got robbed that night, that's insane.
Definitely is, and I like how you mentioned that, you know, you're a fight fan, you just want to see good fights, and I'd like to touch on a positive that has happened, something in my eyes think is one of the biggest positives to happen to MMA within the last, you know, however so many years.
Without a doubt.
And that's the upcoming merger with the WEC, with the endless possibilities of great fights. There's a ton of great fighters in the WEC. They have their own great lightweight division. Merging the two together, it, to me, made perfect sense, and there are no negatives in my mind that could come from that. But like any move, you have a section of the fans that get a little bit worried about how this will affect their viewing experience. They like watching WEC on Versus. They're a bit worried that this will just mean more money out of their pocket. If you can, take a minute and quell those concerns and explain how this is going to be a huge plus for UFC going forward.
Yeah, it's not only awesome for the UFC, it's awesome for all the fans all over the world. A lot of people haven't been exposed to these lightweight guys, man. You don't ever have to, I don't ever have these conversations after the WEC guys fight. These guys go for it every single time.
Definitely.
And it's funny when I read some of the stuff that's out there about these guys talking about the business. This was a bad business move by the UFC because, now they're going to... You guys don't even know what the fuck is going on in the business. We're the ones that are forging the way. We're the ones that everything that's happened has happened because of the stuff that we've laid out and done.
Definitely.
So wait and see what happens over the next 2 years, and I think people will absolutely agree that the merger, was a great idea. It's not even, to be honest with you, I just called it a merger because everybody calls it. It's not a merger. It's not a merger. We added two weight classes.
Yes.
Right.
Basically, that's what we did. We couldn't have... When we first bought the company, there wasn't a 155-pound division. We added that. Then as we continue to grow, we knew eventually we'd get to a point someday when we could add more weight classes, and it's finally happened. It wasn't really a merger. We added two more weight classes to the UFC is what happened.
Well, I'm glad you touched on the weight classes, too, because, I had read recently that there were some thoughts given to once this all takes place and it becomes official and everyone comes together, that there is actually a chance that another weight division will be added, a flyweight division. If that was to happen, do you think there's enough talent right now in the MMA world that can make that a viable and profitable addition to the UFC roster?
Yeah, it's... There's so many people now all over the world that train and compete in mixed martial arts, and it's only going to get bigger, every day.
Dana, are there any plans to introduce females into the UFC at some point? A lot of our listeners had asked us that. A lot of them are very curious if that's something you're looking into.
Here's the problem. There's not enough good females out there to create an entire division. That's okay. The problem. You know, you got a few girls out there, and I say this all the time, even in boxing, when boxing's, you know, in their heyday, and when they had female fights, there were a few good girls out there, and the rest, you know, were terrible. The reality is, there's a girl out there, her name's Lucia Riker.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
She was the best female fighter on the planet. Nobody would fight her. Nobody would go near that girl with a 10-foot fucking pole. So you had these other girls who really sucked and weren't that good that became famous, and realistically, the best girl in the world, nobody would fight.
And I think in a way, that's what makes the, you know, I've been one of those people I'm not a huge fan of women fighting for that reason, mostly alone, because to me, I get no satisfaction out of seeing somebody like Cyborg just completely dominate another girl. I mean, to me, that's just, there's no point to it. It doesn't look good. It doesn't sell. And I don't know. I just think that it might be something that a lot of folks would be turned off to at this point. You know, maybe somewhere down the line.
I agree with you 100%, and I got a better one for you.
Yeah.
You know, I tell this story, too. 10 years ago, when we bought this company, I went up to this show in Northern California, and they had this a girls' fight on there, and this girl fought just like Randy Couture, and looked just like Randy Couture.
God.
And she fought this pretty girl that looked like she had about 4 Taibo classes.
Oh, jeez.
And it was one of the worst beatings I've ever seen. And I just... I
think that could be, you know, at this point, especially, like I said, we were just touching on it before. You're trying to move forward with MMA and get it accepted by everybody. And seeing one woman completely dominate another woman is not something that's going to be a good sell to the people that are in charge.
Right. I agree. And listen, we get to a day where there's a few Lucia Rikers out there.
Different story.
And we'll see.
Now, you've made it no secret, Dana, that you're completely against the whole idea of there being an official quote-unquote ranking system when it comes to mixed martial arts. You know, I mean, you and Joe Silva do a great job putting fights together. The UFC, obviously, without question, has the top talent in the world. But that being said, you know, many MMA websites, they like to make their own pound-for-pound rankings, whether it's just for fun or they actually believe this to be the case. And in a recent case, when somebody asked you about whether Alistair Overeem belongs in the top 10, you really just were very adamant in your response to that. My question is, do you feel that these quote-unquote rankings actually have a serious impact with the way that MMA fans think and look at the sport?
Oh, no, not at all.
Okay.
Absolutely not. It's just, you know, what you have to understand is that, you know, I have to deal with the MMA media all the time.
Yeah.
And some of these guys are so fucking stupid, it's painful. You know, so every once in a while, and you've seen, and I'm sure you'll see again, I'll blow a gasket and snap, you know. It's just, you know, you got to deal with so many stupid people sometimes. You know, and some of these rankings that these guys have are an absolute embarrassment. But, you know, it was just me fucking snapping and going up. And listen, I like Alistair Overeem. I have a cool relationship with him. Every time I see him, he's a super nice guy. I have no beef with that guy whatsoever. You know, so it's not a personal thing. The rankings are ridiculous. You get these guys, and it's always going to be this way. Listen, if there's a smaller organization, you got these guys that, you know, that are going to hate the UFC and want to... How can you fucking put somebody in the top 10 that hasn't fought the absolute best in the world 3 times a year like the guys who are in the UFC?
Exactly, you know?
It's fucking stupid. It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. It just, it means, you know, you either have an agenda, you're just trying to piss me off, or, you know, you just hate the UFC.
Well, because, I mean, when it comes down to it, I mean, really, and this is just my question when I talk to anybody who likes to say that guy's better than this guy. To me, it comes down to who's the champion, who's the number one contender. Does it really fucking matter who's number 3, 4, 5, 6, or 7? I mean, at this point, you know, if you're not the champion and you're not fighting the champion, then you're in the rest of the pack with everybody else.
Well, the other thing, too, is, you know, we could all sit around, you could have this ranking system, and we can all, listen, nobody loves talking about and debating fights more than I do, man. I love it. It's part of being a fight fan. It's what we all like, right?
Definitely.
We like to sit around and break down the stats and talk about this guy. He's got great stand-up. This guy's got wrestling. What'll happen with it? It's all part of the fun. And then when we sit down, another fun part about when you're watching the fight is watching how it goes out and trying to judge the round with your friends. And who do you think just won that round? And then, you know, at the end. But the answer to this whole question is, there's only one way to find out who's better than who, and that's to have them fight. And that's what I like to do.
Absolutely. Dana, now, obviously, I can't think of anybody that has seen more fights than you. What would you say best fight ever, your personal opinion, that you've gotten to see?
God, this is becoming a hard, as we keep going, it's becoming a harder and harder question to answer. You know, I've always said for years, one of my favorites because of the story was Matt Hughes, Frank Trigg 2.
Yeah, okay.
Because of the story going into that fight and what happened. What Hughes told me on the phone. Hughes said to me, you know, first of all, they hate each other, you know. And then going to that fight, Hughes was like, fuck, I got to fight this guy again. Hughes never turns down an opponent. Is always there. The one thing he said about Trigg is, the thing that sucks about this is a lose-lose situation for me because I'm never going to beat him more impressively than I did the first time. And then anybody who knows the history of the Hughes-Trigg second fight, it was way more impressive the second time than the first time. So that was one of my favorites. Now there's been so many great fights. I mean, every time Diego Sanchez fights, it's awesome.
Yes,
you know, I love the Cain-Brock fight. I thought that was fun. The energy in the building was insane. There's just so many good fights now. It's hard for me to pick just one.
Fair enough.
One thing I also wanted to ask you, Dana, is you know, during the week, I was perusing a few news sites, and I actually found out that over in WWE land that the Undertaker got hurt. He's going to be out of action for 6 months. I'm guessing that might make the whole Brock working WrestleMania thing finally put the fucking rest. I mean, was that a little bit of a small breath of relief for you to not have to hear that anymore, seeing how this guy who made
not
this
at all.
Made this
Brock Lesnar's under contract with the UFC. I don't give a shit what anybody thinks, whether he's going to wrestle whoever. He ain't wrestling anybody.
Now that we got that out of the way, let's turn our sights to this weekend, UFC 123, Palace of Auburn Hills, Detroit, Michigan.
First time you guys are back in Michigan for a while, right? I think the last time was UFC 9?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it's been a while. It's a big event, and of course, the main event. You got Rampage Jackson against Lyoto Machida. Now, you know, the last time we saw Rampage, it was coming off his, you know, big brush with the movie star business, doing the A-Team. He didn't really look his best. He looked incredibly rusty. What do you think we as fans have to look forward to when it comes to Rampage this Saturday night against Machida?
I think Rampage's been very focused on training for this fight. You know, and he desperately wants a win, as does Machida. So I'm hoping this is going to be a very fun fight.
And, you know, we also got the rubber match now between Matt Hughes and BJ Penn, with both of them having a win against the other. Now, BJ is a very intriguing case because, you know, he's in his last 10 fights, he's 5-5. He's riding a two-match losing streak. And coming off of that last match, that last fight against Edgar, the last thing I thought he would do is make the jump back up to welterweight in a welterweight fight, least of all against Matt Hughes. How important do you think this particular matchup is for BJ going forward?
I think guys like Matt Hughes and BJ Penn are in a position where they want fights that motivate them.
Okay.
And I can tell you right now that they both jumped at the opportunity to take this fight.
Okay, nice.
So they're both very into this fight, both very motivated, and it should be interesting to see.
Now, side note, something not MMA related. I kind of wanted to get your thoughts on this. I do know you're a very big Boston Celtics fan. We all are watching the NBA Finals. We saw you courtside. Me being a Knicks fan, normally that would make us not coexist. You know, New York and Boston, that whole big thing. But I just want to know, is it seems like now, because I know you're a very big NBA fan, we almost have a common enemy down in Miami when they're trying to repeat the whole Big Three thing. What do you think about that? Give me your thoughts on the Celtics and everything like that.
What's awesome for me is I got to go to the first game and see him beat the Heat in Boston. And then I got to see him beat them again, you know, what was it, last weekend?
Yes, it was last weekend.
Last weekend they beat him again. So, yeah, it's exciting. It's fun. You know, I'm friends with Shaq and have been for a long time. He's always been, you know, a good friend to us and to me. And, you know, I've become really good friends with Big Baby. He trained out at the UFC headquarters in the off season all summer. So, and I'm a Celtics fan, so it's a lot of fun for me.
And finally, something that we could both coexist with, you know? I mean, when it's about to come to, you know, blows about how the Knicks suck and the Celtics are awesome, we could just turn our attention to LeBron James and beat up on him for a while.
Hey, listen, I have no hate for LeBron either, you know? I like guys. Listen, I'm obviously one of those guys who takes a lot of shit from people, you know. You know, tons of stuff is said about me every day, and people are always coming at you and everything else. I like guys who overcome all this type of adversity, whether it be LeBron James or Michael Vick or Tiger Woods or any of these guys that, you know, you get the media and the people all get up in their fucking business and, you know, you got to hear all these people talk all this shit. Shut the fuck up and mind your own business and let these people do their thing. You know what I mean?
There you go. Absolutely.
Guys like that, when bad shit happens to them, I love to see them overcome it. You know, to see Vick have the game that he had last night,
that's
I couldn't
awesome.
Be happier for this guy. I've been waiting for him to shove it up everybody's ass. Now I'm waiting for Tiger to do it.
Well, it's almost as if nowadays in America, like, we forget how to give somebody the second chance. You know, especially in the advent of the internet, when everybody has a voice now for some ungodly reason, it's one of the things that you kind of have to deal with when everyone has a chance to open up their mouths and have 1,000 people listen to it. So it's one of those things where I can get where you're coming from, that it's cool to see these guys, you know, once again, shove it right back up their ass and to say, you know, screw it. I don't need to hear what you have to say.
We live in a country now where people love to tear people down.
Yeah,
that's the thing, man. They love to tear people down. So I love guys who fight back and end up winning.
Now, the majority of our listeners are you know, Twitter-based is how we started to show up. And, you know, obviously everybody that follows you on Twitter gets to see, you know, what you have to say to the fans. And, I mean, obviously, like you just said, there are a lot of people that come out and attack you and, you know, say, you know, shitty things. But you're one of the only people that actually gets on there and actually goes back at them. I mean, as somebody as, you know, as powerful as yourself, like, do you get that's got to be kind of satisfying in a way? No,
you know what the thing is, you know, I know a lot of guys who are on Twitter and they block people and whatever. I embrace the haters too, man. I embrace them all. I embrace the people who follow you and the people who want to hate on you, you know. And a lot of times even the haters have some good input, and I think it's cool to listen to everybody. The only time I'll ever block somebody, and this is the great thing about Twitter, that you don't get on the internet, you can tell, there's a way for us to tell, if a guy created a fake account to go on there and just, you know, that's what I hate. I hate fucking pussies and phonies that will hide behind a screen name, you know what I mean, and not give their real name and not have the balls to say who they really are, which on Twitter you do. You have your name and everything else. I got no problem with anybody voicing their opinion. I want to hear them all. Unless you're being a coward and a phony and you want to make a fake name, then I'll block you.
One more question. Any plans? I know you had talked about it a while ago, and it's always kind of, you know, in the rumor mill. Are there any plans for network television in the near future?
We're working on a lot of huge things right now. Like I said, adding these two weight classes and a lot of things, people are like, oh, this is a da-da-da. You guys have no idea about the business. I've been in this business for 10 years. It actually makes me laugh. You know, there's certain MMA reporters out there who start talking about the business of MMA like they know a fucking thing about it. They know nothing about it. And we know exactly what we're doing. Been doing it for 10 years and been doing it the best. Better than anybody else out there. We forged the way. We're continuing to grow this sport and open it up in all these new markets and expose it to people who've never seen it before. Trust me when I tell you, we know what we're doing, and we got some cool stuff coming up in the next 6 months.
You couldn't have said it any better, Dana. And we know you're very busy. You got a big week ahead, so we don't want to keep you on the phone all day. But
pink berries to be had.
But we really do appreciate you checking in. Once again, everybody, UFC 123 this Saturday, pay-per-view.
Buy them all.
Detroit.
Buy them all. Buy the shirts.
Palace of Auburn Hills. And once again, the UFC president, Dana White, thank you very much for joining us on the beatdown. And hopefully we look forward to talking to you down the line. And we're very excited for what's coming up in the next year or two and years to come with the UFC.
Thanks for the support, guys. I appreciate it.
Not a problem. We appreciate it, too. Take care, Dana. There he is. The man himself.
Yeah, how could that not be awesome?
That was probably the best thing we've ever done on the show.
Animated, huh?
Yeah. No, listen.
Wow.
And that's why people respect Dana White. And yes, he touched on it. He's, you know, he's polarizing. People go at him because, you know, a lot of people in this country don't know how to handle somebody who could speak their mind.
No.
And nobody speaks their mind better than Dana White. He's honest.
And that's what I said. You know what I mean, too? Like, for somebody as, you know, I hate to say powerful because he doesn't play that card. He's not like, oh, I'm fucking Dana White. You know what I mean? But for somebody that carries as much weight as he does,
sure he does,
to be you know what I mean? Like, in there, mixing it up with people, and it's just... It's...
Well, you know what it is? He's not distant. He knows that, listen, people who even come at him, they're still MMA fans.
Right.
So he's not going to just go and blow them off and give them a reason to hate on something. He's going to converse with them and be like, listen, bud, this is how it is, and if you don't like it, hey, so be it.
Right, but you know what? Like, here's the bottom line. If you are an MMA fan, then you should already know by now that UFC is the reason that we are where we are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, yes, there's sometimes that you're not going to agree with what the guy is saying, and that's human nature. You know what I mean? Not everybody gets along at all the time.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, but, to tell him he's a fucking idiot, you're a dick face, suck my balls.
Guys, listen, can you really try and look in perspective of the way UFC was 10 years ago and the way it is now. It has grown by leaps and bounds, and that's because Dana, the Fertitta brothers, Joe Silva, they know what they're doing.
He's got the vision.
He does.
You know what I mean?
And he's got the vision, and you know what? We're all for it, and I'm so excited for what's coming up. I mean, this is the thing. We forget, too, because we always live in the now. This is just going to get bigger and better from where it is right now. So, right. I mean, to be not completely fucking psyched about what's to come in the future, right. Then if you're one of those people that just can't see 3 feet in front of their face. Well, because you know what? It's one of those things
it's flustering.
It is flustering. People and I can understand how he gets.
Just like he said, people are fucking stupid. Yeah. Some people are dumb.
But really, very cool. Once again, we want to thank Dana White for calling
in.
That was
awesome.
That was awesome. Very cool,
cool
to
dude.
Do that. And,
very cool, dude.
And I think that's probably...
You might have said fuck more than I do.
Well, you're
pretty close.
He's pretty close. It's pretty close.
It's a pretty close heat.
Yeah, I'm glad this was an uncensored show because we don't want to have to censor Dana White. I mean, he's Dana White. Come on.
No, man. Life is better off uncensored.
And by the way, I think that's probably the way we should end this episode of The Beatdown. Can't get any better than that. So why we should just quit while we're ahead, bro. Rest up for next week. But
rest up.
Rest up, bro, because, we... Now, we had Dana White on. Awesome interview.
Now we're done.
Now we got to get better.
How do you get better?
We're going to have to try.
Do you get fake Scott Coker on here?
Fake Scott Coker.
That's it. It's over. We're done. Thanks. It was a nice run.
Yeah, dude. No, we got to keep it going.
No, I'm serious. We're
because,
done.
No, we got to keep it going because, done. Like Dana said, it's getting bigger and better. So
done,
we got to follow it. No, all right, I'll show up next week. It'll be the beat down with Brian.
It's the Brian, down.
And it's Brian down.
The Brian down.
But very cool. So once again, thanks to Dana White. Awesome. Thanks to Kurt Pellegrino for checking in with us. That was really awesome as well.
Fucking two cool dudes, man. Yeah. Very cool.
Well, that's what we're realizing, that we haven't met and spoken to one person yet that isn't.
That's what I mean.
Awesome.
Listen, you guys that are getting on Twitter and telling these guys that they're fuckbags and assholes, and
these guys are awesome.
These guys are awesome.
They really are.
That's all there is to it. They don't want to fight you, so he's a douchebag.
Yeah.
Give it a break. He's a professional fighter.
And he gets paid for his fights.
You're a jerk off.
Exactly.
So he's not going to fight you.
And not for nothing, any fight that doesn't take place inside the Octagon.
They don't get paid for it.
They don't get paid for it, but you know what? That's also illegal.
Right.
You can't fight people and then not go to jail.
You just can't walk around fighting people.
And then if fighters go to jail, that means fights don't get, sanctioned in New York.
Bro,
and I can't see fights.
Bro, listen. Derek Jeter is not going to go out and substitute bat for a fucking...
No.
A high school baseball team.
No.
Just... He's not gonna.
Be awesome if he did, though.
It would be, but he's not gonna.
He's not gonna do it.
You know what I mean?
No.
He's a professional athlete.
Yeah.
The guy gets paid to do what he does. You're a professional jerk-off.
Yeah.
He's not gonna come fight you. He's not gonna come to your living room. Just give it a fucking break, man. They're all cool.
Yeah.
I haven't met one. Even Tito Ortiz, who I said publicly was a dick.
He's cool.
He's cool, right. He still wants you to believe that he's a dick. Make no mistake about it. That's what he likes.
Yes.
He wants you to say, hey, you're a dick.
Because he knows
I fucking
how to
hate you.
Because he has no problem being the bad guy.
He likes being the bad guy.
Who doesn't?
But at the ground level,
I root for the bad guy.
He's a fucking cool dude.
I'm still pissed the Emperor died in Star Wars. Still pissed. Fucking guy got thrown down the shaft. Ah!
Fucking 300-year-old pussy, that guy.
Oh!
Fucking shit out of his fingertips. What is that?
That's
a 300-year-old pussy? That's fucking disgusting.
It really is. On that note...
Let's
class it back up. Thank you, Stateside.
Coalition Fight Music is always on the beatdown, guys.
Always.
Every week.
Always.
Fucking go check him out. Like I said, it was Tony's birthday. Go to his goddamn page. Tell him I said happy birthday. Fucking buy the album. It's coming out November 30th. It's fucking cranking. I've heard just about every track. He will not be disappointed. So,
and, thanks to Amber again for checking in.
Thanks to Amber, as always.
And,
thanks to, Kurt Pellegrino, Dana White. God bless you.
Yes.
Do appreciate you taking the time out to give us a call, bud. That was very cool.
Absolutely.
Man. Like I said, that's it for the beatdown forever.
I'll be back next week. Mike, maybe.
So, I'm out of here.
We'll see what happens. On the beatdown.
Later.
Bye.